The only reason we ever feel like we're not good enough is because we're measuring ourselves with other people's yardsticks. If we measure success against Jeff Bezos, we are all failures. If we measure our looks against Brad Pitt or Scarlett Johansson, we will all feel like hideous monsters. If we measure our wife against Superwoman, or our husband against Superman, or our mom against Supermom, we are not only going to always feel disappointed, but we will quickly discover that we are being cruel to put these measuring sticks up against real human beings who are not better or worse, just different, who have unique superpowers, who have special gifts and certain things that may be considered flaws or quirks. But nobody is better. Nobody is worse. We are all different human beings with different abilities. And so why would we put this cruel practice of measuring upon ourselves? Because the fact is, we don't need the most money. We don't need the best family, whatever that means. We just need to be the most ourself, the most authentic, the most true to who we really are deep down, and to live in alignment with our values, our intentions, and our thoughts, words, and actions. Every other comparison is a distraction that prevents us from being our true selves, which is to be confident, happy, and content with exactly who we are. As soon as there is any longing, comparing, or competition, it doesn't matter if we're the greatest or the worst at something, we suffer. Welcome to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. I'm your host, Todd Perlmutter. Our world is a projection of our collective consciousness. The more peace we bring into our lives, the more peace we bring into this world. So let the transformation begin. The problem comes down to how we are living our lives compared to how we expect our lives to be. And when the two don't line up, and they almost never do because the universe is vastly more complex than how we think it should be and how we can understand it to be, it is that disconnect that causes our suffering, our stress, our mental anguish. And the only way to truly love anyone is to fully accept who they are right now. Not their potential, not what they could have been, not how we wish them to be, but exactly who they are in their infinite complexity. And we must accept ourselves and show ourselves that same love, because we deserve it. So instead of measuring ourselves against someone else's yardstick, better yet, can we not measure ourselves at all? Can just doing our best be the best for ourselves? So often, school ruins this for us because they literally put that yardstick on us, that government yardstick that measures our intelligence with grades, with which level of class we get into, whether it's the advanced or the regular classes. The colleges we hope to get into are ranked every year we have tests with scores and those really important ones that put a number on our intelligence. And we naturally interpret that as a score on our value and self-worth. And because this happens at our most formidable years, it's very easy for any child to take into adulthood this belief that this is how the world works, that there are these levels of success and these comparisons and achievements, and we have to have more and be more than our neighbors. But that is all in the head, and we don't have to get rid of tests in school, but we can understand that this is where it starts, and we can overcome through realization that this has created a false worldview. In business, there's no grades. There's no rules. We get to be as creative and as successful as we are able to be. There is no scoreboard in life telling us that our family needs to look a certain way, that we need a certain amount of money in the bank, that we need a certain type of car, that we need even a certain level of intelligence. Because intelligence is just another measuring stick, and it doesn't really matter to our happiness and well-being. It's like scoring someone on how fast they can solve a crossword puzzle. And man, I am so bad at crossword puzzles. Now, some things do need to be measured. Some things we do want to track. We want to track our progress. We want to see the progress we've made. But we need to build our own ruler. We don't need to compare to others. If I compared my piano playing to Beethoven, I would have quit on day one, on the first lesson. Some people just pick it up very quickly, and they just understand sheet music, and they can just put their fingers on a keyboard and music comes out. Whereas for me, it took me years to learn just one song. But boy, do I play that song all the time. I get so much joy out of that one song and the little pieces I know from other songs. And it is just such a delight to reach levels where you can look back and say, wow, I can't believe I learned that. I can't believe I picked that up, even if it takes you 10 years. This is not a competition. Life is not a game. And I know that because we learn sports as a kid and because we take those tests, that it seems like it is a competition and that we're getting graded and we internalize that pressure. But we are only in competition with ourselves. Just trying to be better today than we were yesterday. And even when it seems like we're not, when we've maybe regressed, forgotten something, that experience of learning is invaluable. I have probably forgotten more foreign words than I remember today. But I tell you, that practice of learning a new language is so humbling that it makes my ego just shrink and dissolve every time I try. And that is invaluable. And to learn anything new is an incredible experience. And it doesn't matter whether we are fast learners or the slowest learner. And there is even a great deal of science out today that shows us that the slowest learners, people who are not naturals, who don't have innate talent, end up over the long run being the best at something because they learned work ethic. Whereas the people with an innate ability and who get something right away often quit at the first sign of difficulty because they never learned how to push through that. They never learned how to push their ego aside and say, okay, I'm an idiot at this. Let's keep going. It only becomes a hindrance when we label ourselves as a failure, when we demand perfection from ourselves. This is when we cave to fear and we take on that pressure that doesn't even exist, but we are putting it on ourselves. There is really no such thing as a person who is a failure. The only way to fail is to give up. Every single successful person has failed countless times. So consider yourself on the pathway to success. If you feel like you were born with something that others have that you don't have, like looks, just be the best looking person you can be. And don't worry about what other people look like and what other people think. Because it's exactly that insecurity and neediness for approval that is unattractive. So our goal is not to be the best looking, have the most dates, have the highest paying job in the world. It is to let our true nature shine so brightly that it doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, or who it's with, because we aren't needing, craving, stealing energy, relying on circumstances for happiness. We are the source of that love and that happiness, and other people will be attracted to that and want to be around that. That's the kind of person who people will want to do business with, will want to hire. And it has nothing to do with test scores or income level or looks. So we have to stop focusing on what we lack and what we want and what we wish to be and start focusing on what we have to offer. Maybe we want to be a movie star, but we're really great at teaching drama to kids. Be the best drama teacher you can be. Make the journey your salvation, not the destination. I don't wish to play piano at Carnegie Hall. I just do it because it is fun. It brings me great joy. And it is the process, not the outcome, not the goal, that I love it for. If your small business doesn't become a global Fortune 500 company, as long as you love the process, you will love your life. And no matter what we are doing, we can love it. We can wish for exactly what we are doing, even when it is undesirable and we would prefer to have it over with already. All work can be play. When we stop resisting it, stop fighting it, and stop those thoughts that say, I hate this. I wish I didn't have to do this. Why isn't this this way or that way or, ugh, not again. And the way we do that is we start to pay attention of what we resist. The things we resist that we want to love, we need to write them down. We need to write down the thoughts in our mind that we say about the thing we're resisting. And we need to write down what we want those thoughts to be. How does our higher consciousness, our higher wisdom, wish for our conscious, egoic mind to think about this thing? And then we need to program it into our subconscious so that when thoughts pop up to the conscious level, the negative thoughts no longer come up, so that those thoughts that create the negative emotion don't arise in the first place. And the way we do that is we look at those positive thoughts, the way we wish to view those things we resist, that hard work that's just getting us to our goal. It's not even a negative. It's a positive, wonderful thing, is that hard work and dedication we put into making our lives better. And we just say those positive thoughts to ourselves 100 times a day until it becomes our new way of thinking. First thing in the morning and last thing at night is especially powerful because we're halfway between consciousness and unconsciousness. And pretty soon these positive thoughts become the first thing we think in the morning and the last thing we think at night. And the more we repeat these positive thoughts, the more it becomes ingrained into our subconscious. And the less we resist that which we know we need to do, the more we are able to dedicate ourselves to it, the less stress we will have about it, and the easier it will be to put even more time into it. And our progress will accelerate, and we will be able to leap ahead of our peers. And while this work makes them tired and exhausted, we will be energized because we are loving it. We learn best when we are relaxed and having fun. And this is why they say kids are quicker learners. It's not because they're able to do something adults can't do. It's just because they're having fun and there is no pressure. And it is always those things that kids do on their own that they are just drawn to naturally, that they learn the most about because they have this obsession and love for it. And you are not born with that love and obsession. You can develop it for anything that you wish. It is not innate. It is developed. And we can all love whatever we wish. It is not just luck that we're born with or without. And as Malcolm Gladwell points out in The Outliers, it doesn't make a difference between your IQ, your innate gifts and talents that you are born with. As long as you have a basic level of intelligence, a minimum level, that you are as capable as anyone else at those basic things in life, then you are able to become a super expert in anything you put your mind to if you put in those 10,000 hours. Every child prodigy who seems like they are naturally gifted at something isn't naturally gifted. They were just born with an insatiable curiosity and obsession for something. and they ended up putting in 10,000 hours before anybody else. We can all develop this passion. It just takes awareness of those thoughts, putting some conscious intention into what we wish to get out of life, to achieve in our lives, whether it is romance, success, or any other skill. And then we reprogram our mind to become the most excited about that goal and about the work and the journey to get there. And that is how we will reach our goal and we will love the process. Much love. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this podcast was valuable and helpful. And if it brings some value into your life, you can consider donating to keep the podcast running at eastwesticism.org. That's eastwesticism.org. Every contribution goes a long way, keeps the lights on, and it's the only way we're able to keep putting these podcasts out. So thank you so much for your support and for helping raise the awareness and consciousness of this earth. Be well. You have been listening to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. Being here and putting in this important and noble work is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself and others. If you found this podcast even a little helpful, please make sure to leave a review so it can reach others who may be in need. And remember, the path to peace starts with a single step.